Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
I read once that being angry, that harboring resentment and hate and anger, when we refuse to forgive someone, is like we drink poison and hope that they will die. You see, forgiveness isn't all that complicated, but it can be challenging. It can be difficult. We live in a world that's consumed with angst, and there's hate, and there's anger, and there's all manner of sins. So for us to be able to have the tool of forgiveness in our skill set is an incredible and amazing thing. And so before we look at this parable that Harlan just read, I want to kind of set the picture where we are in Matthew's gospel here in chapter 18. So I'm going to take just a couple minutes and run through what has happened before the reading for today. So chapter 18 starts off and Jesus is teaching. He's got the disciples scattered around him. He's got crowds of people. And he says to them that unless they become like children, they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What he's reminding them of, what he's reminding us is that we are to approach the Lord with this sense of awe, this sense of wonder, and a sense of humbleness. And then he goes on to say a warning. If we cause someone to stumble, if we keep someone from believing, it would be better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck and thrown into the water. Okay, millstones were huge stones. They were used in grinding. There was an upper stone and a lower stone. They worked different directions, and they weighed somewhere between 700 and 1,000 pounds. So for Jesus to say, if we are going to hinder someone in their faith, it would be much better for us to have one of those stones tossed around our neck, is serious business. But he isn't done there either, because then he says, if our hand or our foot causes us to sin, we should cut them off and throw them away, because that would be better than for us to be sinners and to be thrown into hell. Not too many comforting words yet, are there, in this teaching of Jesus? But he follows that with the parable of the lost sheep. And he says that if one of my flock strays, I will leave the rest and find the one who has strayed. And when they are found, there will be great rejoicing. He follows that teaching with how we are to deal with someone from the church who has sinned against us. We are to go to that person one-on-one and see if we can resolve the differences. And if that doesn't work, we are called to take two or three with us. And if that doesn't work, we are called to go to the church. In other words, the leadership of the church. And it was after that that Peter raised his hand and said, I have a question. So exactly how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? Seven times? Now, it sounds flip, except that Peter is actually thinking he's being generous here. Because rabbinical law taught that one only had to forgive somebody three times. And the fourth time, if someone sinned against us, we were not required to forgive them. And that comes out of the book of the prophet Amos. So if you were to read the book of Amos, you would discover that in the very beginning of that book, God, through Amos, issues a series of condemnations on various nations who have done horrible things to his people, Israel. And there's this kind of mantra that flows through those condemnations. He says, for three transgressions, and then for four. And when the scholars of the day looked at that, they determined that that meant that God would forgive someone three times. And the fourth time someone sinned, then they were subject to punishment. They also determined that if God only forgave people three times, that meant that man could do no more than God could. Man could not forgive more than three times or be more gracious than God. So hence the command to forgive three times. But what Jesus said after that kind of rocked Peter's world yet again. Because Jesus said to Peter and the disciples who had heard the question and to you and I, no, you are not to forgive someone seven times, but 77 times, or some translations say 70 times seven times. That's a lot. What he's really saying is that forgiveness is limitless, that Jesus continues to forgive us, and because he forgives us, we are then called to continue to forgive others. When Peter said seven, he's not thinking of seven as being this perfect and complete number like Jesus is. Peter's thinking, okay, I'll be generous. I'll forgive you seven times. What he's saying is that we shouldn't keep track of who sins against us and how many times they sin. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no records of wrongs. We are called to do the same. Forgiveness isn't complicated, but it is challenging, and it's necessary. Okay, if you look at the list of things that are required and the things that are elective, forgiveness doesn't fall into the elective category. Forgiveness falls into the required category. Jesus follows his numbers with Peter with the teaching of this unforgiving servant. Harlan just read it. We can read it again and again. But what Jesus really wants us to know is that we are called to forgive others because we have already been forgiven. And because we have been forgiven, we are to pass that grace and mercy on to those who have sinned against us. Paul reminds us this time in Ephesians, this is chapter 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Here's something else about forgiveness that isn't necessarily easy. When we extend forgiveness to someone, We don't do it because they've apologized to us. We are called to forgive whether they apologize to us or not. That goes against everything we think, against the way the world would have us believe. But when you think about forgiveness, as Jesus hung there on the cross, beaten, bloodied, he had to be in excruciating pain, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He didn't forgive them because they apologized. He didn't forgive them because those Roman soldiers and the Jewish religious authority says, "Oh, we're so sorry for what we're doing to you." That didn't happen. Jesus forgave. He simply forgave. Out of great love for all of his children. You see, when we don't forgive, it's like being imprisoned. It's like we become chained to our past. But when we forgive someone who has wronged us, who has hurt us, who has angered us, then those chains fall off of us and we are set free. It's a really cool thing. Last week, Pastor John started us off on the Life Tools series, and he talked about the first tool being praise. Praise when maybe life isn't going exactly the way you had hoped it would go. Or praise that even in the midst of when life is upside down and God hasn't done the things that we've told him to do. And I hope not that things have gone haywire in your lives this week, but that in the midst of the things that are going on in your life, that you have found some occasions to give God thanks and praise. And so while we continue to work on that tool of praise, today we move to the second tool, which is the tool of forgiveness. And if you pull out this blue sheet, you'll see that the question that gets asked at the top is, who in your life do you need to forgive? And do you need to include yourself on that list? And then the first step working through forgiveness is determine in your heart that you want to fully forgive this person. You see, we have to feel it in our heart. Forgiveness isn't something that's done half-heartedly. It's not something that's done haphazardly. Forgiveness is one of those things where we find ourselves saying, I have to, I need to forgive this person because the anger, the hate, the resentment, the bitterness, the whatever it is that's building up in us will eat me alive if I don't do something. It will destroy us. If we let that anger, that hate, that bitterness, all of that build up. Because eventually, it builds up to the point where we become like Mount Vesuvius and we explode and we hurt not only ourselves, but we end up hurting others. You see, Jesus forgave us our sins. And we are called to forgive others of their sins, but we're also called to forgive ourselves. If our sins can be removed from us as far as the east is from the west, if God can put our sins away, can't we move on? Can't we forgive ourselves and move on? The word forgive is a verb. It's an action word. It means to let go. It can also mean that a debt is canceled. So today when you say the Lord's Prayer, oftentimes we say, and forgive us our trespasses or our sins as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. But there are still churches that say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. The debt of our sin has been paid in full. It's been canceled. And because Jesus has done that for us, we are called to do that for others. You see, forgiveness isn't just for the person who offended us. It's for us as well. Nobody said this would be easy. In fact, sometimes trying to forgive someone is excruciating. And how many of us have tried to forgive somebody and we're sure that we have completed the task, we have forgiven them, and something happens, and what happens? We start all over again, right? We have to try and forgive again. So these words that are at the end of this parable, I want to take a look at. So, Emily, if you would put those up, please. These last couple of verses in today's reading, I find frightening. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. Because Jesus is really serious when he says, forgive others, because I have forgiven you. And so we have this parable of this servant who is in debt. He owes 10,000 talents. One talent was equal to 20 years' wages. One, and he owes 10,000. Somebody else do the math with all those zeros. Okay? That's the debt that we owe because of our sin. And the master was gracious and merciful and forgave that servant his debt, just like our debt has been forgiven. And you would think that because his debt was forgiven, this servant would go out and do the same. But when you look at the Greek of this lesson, it indicates that this servant who has been forgiven all of this debt actually went out looking for someone who owed him money and choked him and said, pay up. And that second servant used the same words that the first did, but there was no grace and there was no mercy. And the other servants watched this, went back to the master, to the king, told him what went on, and then that master, that lord, summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all of that debt because you pleaded with me. If we could have the next one, please. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave the way I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord, the king, the master, handed that slave over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. And then Jesus says, so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Those are hard words, because what he's really saying is that on the last day, there will be no forgiveness for those who have chosen to not forgive others. Let me say that again. There will be no forgiveness on the last day for those people who have chosen to withhold forgiveness from others. That's hard, because that being put in prison till the debt can be paid, we can't pay that debt any more than that man could pay what would amount to at least $60 million in today's money. That means that this man has been thrown into hell for eternity, because he will never, ever be able to pay the debt. If we choose to not forgive people, Jesus says that will be ours as well. But remember this. Our forgiving someone else is not a condition of our salvation. It's a consequence. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We show grace and mercy because it's already been shown to us. This is hard stuff. Forgiveness is hard. Because when we take that first step and we determine in our heart that we want to forgive someone, it doesn't usually happen overnight. It means that we spend time in prayer with the Lord. It means that we ask Him to give us strength, to give us the courage to be able to forgive. It means that we go to Him and we ask Him to change our hearts. Not the heart of those who offended us, who sinned against us. We ask Him to change our hearts, because we can't even begin to forgive if our hearts aren't changed. And the thing is, we can't harbor bitterness and anger and resentment and ask God to forgive, help us to forgive at the same time. You can't hate and forgive. It's either one or the other. There's no neutral ground here. Either we will forgive or we won't. Sometimes it's really hard to forgive. Really hard. And we struggle. And we think we've managed to forgive, and then we discover we haven't. And sometimes people have hurt us so badly that we don't even want to think about forgiving that person or those people. We can't even begin to imagine saying their name, let alone praying for them, let alone forgiving them. Sometimes, even when we go to the Lord and acknowledge that we want to, need to forgive someone, the task seems insurmountable, impossible, except that in Jesus all things are possible. We're called to forgive. We are called to do hard work. We are called to be obedient to the command of Christ. And the thing is, every single one of us has been wronged at some point in time or another. And every single one of us has sinned against somebody else. So as we are praying and working and trying to forgive someone else, we can only hope that the people that we have offended are affording us that as well. But forgiveness doesn't depend on that other person. It depends on us. And so we step out in faith. We step out in obedience. We step out in courage, courage that we can only get from the Lord, knowing that God will do the heart part, that He will change our hearts and make it possible for us to forgive someone else, even if they never say sorry. We are called to forgive. We can't do that by ourselves. None of us can. We need to, we have to, we must go to the Lord and ask Him to help us do what it is that He's commanded us to do. But the cool thing about forgiveness is it's like got a twofold blessing. Because when we forgive someone, we release the chains that we hold on them. And maybe, just maybe, at some point, our forgiving them will soften their hearts. Maybe, just maybe, at some point, our forgiving them will help lead them to repentance. And while we forgive them, then the burden that we've carried, the angst or the bitterness or whatever it is that we've carried, we've let go of. The burden has been lifted. We are set free. But the world looks at those of us who forgive as being weak. The world looks at those of us who forgive as letting someone who's undeserving win. That's not the case at all. It takes strength, a lot of strength sometimes, and a lot of courage to forgive someone who has wronged us. It takes strength to let God work in us and through us to change us and to help us to let go. Jesus didn't give us forgiveness because we deserve it. He forgave us because He loves us. We don't forgive others because they deserve it. We don't forgive ourselves because we deserve it. Forgiveness is a deliberate act of love and mercy and grace given to us that we pass on to others. And when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, what he really said is the debt has been paid. That insurmountable debt that you will never, ever be able to pay for, it's been canceled. He paid that debt for you and for me. Why do we forgive? Because we've been forgiven. And I know I've said that more than once, but we need to remember that Jesus didn't just say, you need to go forgive somebody, do as I say, not as I do. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We've been set free. And we have now the opportunity to set others free as well. When we forgive, it isn't that we've completely dismissed or condoned what someone has done to us. When we forgive, it's not like we pretend that it's never happened, because there are always consequences when we sin. We don't have to look any farther than King David. There was that afternoon when everybody else had gone to war, and he's on the roof of his house, and he sees Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba, across the way taking a bath. And this little afternoon delight of an affair happens. And a child is conceived, and when his sin is held up to him, David falls on his knees and pleads with God for forgiveness for his sins. And forgiveness is granted, but there are consequences because that child dies. When we forgive somebody, it isn't that we're allowing them to run roughshod over us, that we're letting them take advantage of us. That's not it at all. When we forgive, it's letting go of whatever it is that we've had bottled up inside of us that will not only make a mess of our lives, but will affect other people's lives as well. And the thing is, when we hold all that stuff in, it's exhausting to be angry, to be bitter, to be resentful, to hate. It takes an incredible amount of energy to do that. And every bit of energy that we spend on negative attitudes and negative words and actions takes away energy that we need to become the people that God wants us to be in the first place. Stephen McDonald was a police officer in 1986. He was a young officer when he was shot in Central Park in New York City. It was an incident that left him paralyzed. Young man who shot him. Many would say that Officer McDonald had every right to seek vengeance, that he had every right to be bitter, that he had every right to be angry at this young man. This is what Officer McDonald said. I forgave the shooter, because for me, the only thing that would be worse than having a bullet hit my spine would be to harbor hate, resentment, and revenge in my heart. And he went so far as to correspond with this young man while he was in prison, hoping against hope that when this young man served his time, that the two of them then could go out and they could talk to people about nonviolence and about what it means to forgive. The young man got out of prison, and 3 days later he was killed in a motorcycle accident. But to this day, Officer McDonald travels around this country with his message of forgiveness and the freedom that forgiveness brings. You see, forgiveness isn't complicated. It's just that sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's difficult. And the thing about forgiveness is it can't change the past, but it can have an incredibly huge impact on the future. So, gracious God, Sometimes your words are really hard. They're hard to hear. They're hard to teach. They're hard to preach. But we know, Lord God, that you've given us an incredible gift in our forgiveness, a gift that you've asked us to give to others. I know, Lord God, that there are people here this morning who have someone in their life that they need to forgive. Somebody that has angered them, wronged them, someone that they feel bitterness or resentment against. So I pray, Lord God, that today would be the day that those of us who need to forgive someone would find the courage and the strength to come to you and say, I need your help to forgive this person. We know anything is possible in you, Lord. We trust you, we love you, we give you thanks and praise, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.